You will be arrested and you will be put on trial and you will be found guilty and you will go to prison because you are far right thugs. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, Britain appears to have been going through quite a few prime ministers of late. Something is going on. Throughout the whole of the 1980s, there was one prime minister, Margaret Thatcher. In the 1990s, there were two prime ministers, John Major and Tony Blair. In the 2000s, there was, again, two prime... Well, there was basically... How many were there in the 2000s? There was Tony Blair throughout pretty much all of the 2000s, and then at the end of it, Gordon Brown. Now, we have seen in the last 10 years, what is it now? Is it six or seven prime ministers? There's some kind of change. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about why it is that Britain is cycling through so many prime ministers at the moment. What is going on? What is the explanation for this? And in particular, what is the evolutionary explanation for this? What is the evolutionary psychological explanation for this? Before I do that, could you possibly do me a favor? Could you please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube? Could you leave a like? Could you hit the bell button? Could you leave a comment for the algorithm? And could you subscribe to my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most base stuff I can't put on YouTube, where I put in-person interviews, vlogs, films I make, where if you like what I do, you can support me for about the cost of a pint of beer a month. So what is going on? I always think that, in essence, humans are an advanced form of ape. Humans are, to a great extent, not completely, but to a great extent, evolved to the savannah, evolved to live in a group of 100 or 150 people that all know each other well. We have evolved since then. We have evolved since then, unquestionably, but we haven't evolved that much. That is our evolutionary match. And so if we want to make sense of what's going on, and we want to make sense of why there's been so many prime ministers of late, then that's the way to do it. How, in any set of circumstances, does somebody remain the head man? Does somebody remain the top of the group? Firstly, they have to have elite support. So the other people in the group that are acknowledged as powerful and important and, you know, good at hunting, good at social intercourse or whatever, they have to support them. Secondly, they have to have mass support. There has to be support of the ordinary people in the tribe, and they have to feel that these people are good. How do they get that support? They show that they are good at solving problems. They show that they are good at effectively distributing resources. They show that they are good at suppressing rivals that might want to take their position. They show that they are good at leading the group to fight against actual rival groups and winning those fights. They show that they are competent, and they show that they are good at signaling power. These are the key things. Now, if in normal circumstances, as long as everything's going okay, as long as they are solving the problems of the group, as long as they are coordinating resources, as long as they are making sure that everybody feels they have a reasonable bite of the cake in distributing resources, as long as they are signaling prestige, as long as they have support of the group, then they will be okay and they will stay in power. And that was obviously what was able to happen in the 1980s, when the economy was doing reasonably well, in the 1990s, when the economy was doing reasonably well, and in the 2000s. It is not what has happened since. Why? The key things that will cause the change are environmental instability, i.e. the nature of life increasingly becoming unstable and unpredictable, general uncertainty. And this would in turn lead to coalition fragmentation and frequently changing leaders. If people feel the environment is uncertain, if people feel that resources are not reasonably distributed, if people feel they are under threat from outside groups, if people feel that the person does not come across the headman as competent and as signaling power, then this will make them change leader in a situation of crisis. In a situation of crisis, they will become risk sensitive, they will become punitive, and they will easily switch leaders. In a situation of crisis, they will start to become much more critical of the leader. The leader therefore has to change. So basically, what this is saying about Britain is it is under a great deal of stress, that there are problems, huge problems, that are not being solved, that people do not feel that resources are equally and reasonably distributed, that rivals are not able to be suppressed, that rivals to the group are not able to be effectively fought off. And so this results in a crisis mode. And in that crisis mode, what people do is they become, as I say, increasingly risk sensitive, increasingly punitive, and they are very, very likely to deal with this problem by under this kind of pressure that they feel under by switching leaders and switching them frequently as a means of trying to solve the problem. So that is what we're dealing with. Now, this idea of having a small number of prime ministers is actually only happens in British history at specific periods where things are going well, where things are going reasonably well, not completely well, but reasonably well, then you're all right. So if you look at someone like Margaret Thatcher, you have an economic crisis. She comes in, she seems to kind of solve that economic crisis. You can say that it's had bad consequences now, 40 years later, but at the time, she seems to solve that economic crisis. The country is booming. People are wealthy. There are aggressors from outside in the form of the IRA and in the form of Argentina, in particular, invading part of Britain. And she seems to repel those people. And she signals power and signals competence, particularly when you've got a leader of the opposition like Neil Kinnock. So therefore, she stays in power for 10 years. Tony Blair, likewise, there are all kinds of ways in which you could say he wrecked the country and he set up the country for the situation that it is now in. But he came across as competent. He signaled power. People were wealthy. The economy was doing well. And so he seemed to solve the problems that confronted Britain, both in terms of outsiders and so on. But with Gordon Brown, it was rather less like this. So Gordon Brown, there was the economic crisis and so forth, of course. And so Gordon Brown, therefore, was removed. And then we have a series of leaders. Now, obviously, what we have in terms of what has happened in Britain over the since 2016 in particular is a series of crises, of interrelated crises, Brexit, inflation, the rising cost of energy, the stagnation of real wages, COVID. All of aggressive powers from outside, such as Russia or China, that are interfering with things, migration being out of control, Islamism, and that kind of thing. So we have a general perception the country is in crisis and something needs to be done. It needs to be done now. And we are looking for a leader who can solve these problems, who can make people feel that they are rich and that everything is okay and that they are happy and content and have an equal level of resources. And of course, there's the housing crisis and so forth, and who is able to signal power and competence. And clearly, we've had a series of prime ministers who have been unable to do this. David Cameron, the Brexit referendum, he lost that. What this showed is he did not have the support of the people. And what this showed is that he had gambled and made a mistake and so on. And so he was eliminated. With the Scottish referendum, of course, in 2014, he called that, he gambled and he won. This made him look powerful and competent and prescient. And so therefore he won the 2015 election. But no, he completely balls things up with Brexit and losing the referendum. And so therefore, obviously, he lost all elite support, all support of his subordinates, and he had to go. He is replaced by Theresa May. She came across at first as competent and so forth, but gradually it was realised she couldn't do anything. She wasn't particularly socially skilled. She wasn't particularly good at running her coalition. She wasn't particularly good at, she couldn't get her legislation passed. She increasingly came across as incompetent. The problems of the country, i.e. the need to deal with Brexit, were not solved. She was removed. Boris comes in. Boris is, again, at first, highly competent and charismatic and so forth. He solves the problem of Brexit, but then there's all kinds of other problems that come in, with COVID and so forth. And he comes across as incompetent, particularly this Chris Pincher thing and lying and so forth. And so he loses confidence and he's not solving the general problems that are still there, the general melee, the problems with housing, the problems with Islamism, whatever. And so he's removed. Liz Truss comes in. Immediately, her policies spook the markets. It doesn't matter what you think of her policies. policies, but they did. They spooked the markets. This causes an economic crisis. She comes across as incompetent. She is removed. And then Rishi Sunak simply presides over general decline, massive inflation, the problems in the wake of COVID and all of migration and the ability to stop that. He can't solve the problems. And so he is removed. And then, of course, the whole coalition that is the Conservative Party are removed because they haven't been able to solve the problems. They haven't come across as signalling power. They haven't got the support of certain kinds of people in the elite and whatever. So they're all removed. And then we have the same thing with Starmer. He can't do anything. He can't solve the problems. And when you feel there is a crisis and there are problems that are not being solved, then you quickly will act to remove someone. And that's what's happened. And I would think that the turning point was probably really was when he'd only just got into power and there was the appalling incident in Southport. And he said, rather than say, OK, well, I'm terribly sorry, this shouldn't happen. This is appalling. We're going to do something about it. We're going to have an inquiry. But you shouldn't go. It's not going to help to go around smashing up your own towns. That's what Blair would have said. Instead, he says, you will be arrested and you will be tried and you will be found guilty and you will go to prison because you're far right thugs. Completely tone deaf and misread the situation and did not come across as competent, did not come across as inspiring. That was the beginning of the end, I think. And so presumably he will be out by the end of the week. Now, this is not the first time this has happened. There have been many periods of having lots and lots of prime ministers. In the wake of the loss of the American colonies, there was, which was a huge blow to Britain and messed everything up economically, there was something like six different prime ministers in 10 years. In the wake of the Napoleonic War, you had all kinds of problems: inflation, urbanization, industrialization, calls for democracy. I mean, the country really was very unstable. And I put this in the thumbnail. You had something like nine prime ministers in 10 years. Nine. Not the seven that we're likely to have in the UK, but nine. And there was also a late Victorian crisis because of Irish Home Rule, imperial overreach, the Boer War, that sort of thing. And again, although they're not individual prime ministers, they're swapping back and forth. But you have a large number of different prime ministers. So the nearest comparison to what we've got at the moment, which is it's not just that they're swapping back between different prime ministers and the parties are keeping their leaders, i.e. that it's different prime ministers, different people, is the crisis after the Napoleonic War. Between from about 1812 to whenever it was, you have about nine different prime ministers in a decade. That's the nearest comparison to what we're dealing with at the moment, and we're shocked by it. Those of us like me that were born in 1980, or those of us that are a bit older than that, or even a bit younger than that, because you're just not used to it. It's something that happens in other countries where prime ministers aren't particularly presidential. Finland, for example, there's no crisis in Finland. There has been no major crisis. But in the 21 years I've been here, it's had about as many prime ministers as the UK has had. But nobody really cares about that. That's considered normal here. But in the UK, it's more of a presidential system where you keep the prime minister in power for terms of office and things like that. And they have a mandate from the people. So, we shouldn't be shocked by this. And the reason we shouldn't be shocked by this, as I have stressed again and again, is that we are an advanced form of ape and we are acting in the way that an advanced form of ape does. And that is that if the head man is not solving the group's problems, is not solving the group's problems with other groups, is not solving internal problems within the group over distribution of resources and so forth, is not making people feel competent and happy and rich and successful, then if the environment is generally uncertain and frightening, then the tendency is to remove the head man in favor of somebody else. Whereas when everything's going okay and people feel that the problems are solved, internal and external problems, that resources are properly distributed, where the leader is signaling prestige and power and all these kinds of things, then he will tend to stay in power. So that's the change. And St. Christopher 251 has said the Red Queen will destroy us all. And I'm looking forward to that. Now, we have a question from Astrid F31, 10 Swiss francs. We cannot wait for politicians to save us. Everyone is mixing in every single day, but we won't be European anymore. Waiting and voting will condemn us to extinction. We have to do it ourselves. That's a very good point. Thank you very much, sir. Well, perhaps this will. I think that personally, if we do get Angela as the Prime Minister, then this will be like losing Scotland in the independence referendum. This will be such a shock to the system. We will realise that Britain has fallen so low, so astonishingly, embarrassingly low, as to have Angela Rayner as Prime Minister, that maybe that will be the kick that we need to shake ourselves out of our decadence. Because what kind of nation will Britain be if Angela Rayner is Prime Minister? Okay, well, I hope this is a bit of interest. And again, if it has, I'd be most grateful if you would subscribe and spread the word and all this kind of thing. And I will see you all soon, chaps, and tally-ho, and goodbye.